You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking and broadcasting to you today from the Peninsula Players Theater in Door County. What a wonderful, wonderful theater. If you when you come to Door County, be sure to catch one of the plays that I tell you are very professional group here. And the facility itself is just not to be believed. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. And I wanted to thank a couple of people before we get started here, just while I'm thinking about it. Marv Nunn, who set up our engineering today's, as always, did a wonderful job. Our regional manager, Lisa Nalbandian, Lisa Andre, our public events planner, Ellen Clark from Wisconsin Public Radio, Sandy Lowenauer. I know I'm forgetting some people here. Jim Packard, our producer back in Madison, Keisha Mabra, who is, I think, doing the board operation for us today. Everybody, and Landmark Resort in Egg Harbor. We stayed at Landmark last night, had a great evening there, which is another very peaceful place to be when you're in Door County. Although I'll tell you what, there are so many wonderful places to be. And a couple of people I have with me now have written a lot about that. Paul and Frances Burton, they're from Ephraim. They operate Stonehill Publishing. And they're authors and co-authors of several books about Door County and the history, the culture, physical beauty. Paul's a retired professor emeritus of biology from the University of Kansas. Frances is a retired hospital social worker and a psychologist. So they brought a lot of talent with them from Kansas, among other places, to here, and have really made a great life and have enriched the lives of those who've had a chance to read their books. So I'm really pleased to have them with us today to talk about Door County. And so we can talk about a lot of things. We can talk about the history of Door County. We can talk about some of the great people. They've got some books on the stories, some great stories of the Door County people who helped found and make this county. But there's also, ecologically speaking, it's one of the prettiest places you're going to see. There are some challenges, I think, as there probably are in virtually every county in the state, one way or another. And I'm pretty sure they can talk with us a little bit about that as well. The ecologically sensitive areas, I know they can. The some of the land issues, some of the history. And I know they can also talk about the arts of Door County. So, my goodness, I'm surrounded by a lot of great talent here and pleased to have them along. You may have some questions as we move along, and certainly if you do, join us at 1-800-642-1234 in the Madison area. Reach us at 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Frances Burton, welcome.
Thank you very much. That was a really nice introduction. Well, I hope we can live up to that.
Well, it was right off the top of my head, too.
Any questions?
Paul, thank you for being here. How'd you wind up here in Door County?
We're just like a lot of other people that are here, vacationers that came here to live. My family brought me here when I was 4 years old in 1939. They came from St. Louis, where it was really hot, and came to Door County, where it was really cool, and been here ever since, basically, in the summer.
And so she dragged you along, Paul, or what happened?
I'm married into Door County.
You're married into Door County. Well, how did you, let's talk about your publishing. So that when you came here, decided to start a publishing business?
No.
This is about the third career. Once we started a tennis shop when our children were too young to work at paid jobs, and we wanted to keep them out of trouble, so they worked for us.
I like that.
But, of course, as soon as they could get a paid job, Mom and Dad were thrown under the bus. Yeah. So then a couple years later, we started a business called Stonehill Crafts, which was a gallery of American-made crafts, and we did that for 13 years. At the end of that is when we started writing.
Wow. Well, you had a lot to write about by that time.
Yeah, we've always been interested in history, and one of the first things we tackled, living just up the hill from the Ephraim Rabin Church, was a book dealing with the life of Reverend Andrew Iverson, his discovery of Ephraim and his trials and tribulations, And so that got us off to a good start. And from there, we went to other books, stories about Door County, people and places. Francis wrote a book about the wildflowers of Door County, which has been very successful. And so we really have enjoyed the opportunity to live and live in a special place and write about a special place.
Yeah, it is that as well. The Door County Wildflowers book that you've written, Francis, is, I tell you, I love to bike in Door County. It's one of the things I've had a lot of fun doing. Different times we come up, we've had a little 30-mile run or a little 20-mile ride that we can take through the countryside, and the wildflowers are fabulous.
That's right. I didn't write this book alone. I wrote it with a friend named Aurelia Stamp, and we also bike. Mm-hmm. And we don't bike very far and very fast because we keep stopping to look at the wildflowers.
Well, what are the primary wildflowers of Door County?
Door County has more rare, endangered, and threatened wildflowers than any county in Wisconsin. So it's hard to say what the primary wildflowers are, but it's known for its orchids. There are 27 varieties of wild orchids in Door County, and some of them you see quite often, lady slippers, yellow lady slippers growing along the roadside. But there are other wonderful ones with names like dragon's mouth. Mm-hmm. So those are very special wildflowers. But what you see growing along the roadside are probably invasive species that have been imported for some other reason that have taken off.
Oh. Well, I'm going to turn over back to you, Paul, for a second to, we'll skip from wildflowers back to a little bit of history. Who were some of the real pioneers of Door County? You mentioned one earlier.
There were a lot of them. And the other day I sat down and began to pull together a list of about 30 people who made major contributions to Door County from 1853, right on, and it was a very interesting list. And it included people like Andrew Iverson, of course. This place was a wilderness when it was first settled, and Iverson established the community of Ephraim, and it was an amazing man. Asa Thorpe, Moses Kilgore in Bailey's Harbor. Increase Claflin was supposed to be the first white person settling in Door County. This was in 1835, and Dr. Herman Welker in Fish Creek, Letham Smith in Sturgeon Bay, and the list goes on and on. Ferdinand Holtz was a Chicago jeweler who became Door County's largest landowner in the between 1900 and 1950. He started in the Depression, and he was a jeweler who sold fine jewelry to Europeans, heads of state, people of great wealth. So during the Depression, he had money when no one else did, and he was an addict in terms of buying land, and he bought property after property after property. He was the largest landowner for a long time. Francis, you wrote quite a bit about him. You have anything to add?
Remember, how much land did he have? Did he even know?
No, I'm not sure he really knew. He owned a great deal of Fish Creek, particularly east and south of Fish Creek. He owned all of what is now Newport State Park. He owned a lot around Kangaroo Lake. He owned all around the Holtz Trail around Europe Lake. When he bought some of this, he bought it to be nice to people who were losing everything in the Depression, and what they had was land, and he bought it from them. And he also bought it because he wanted it. But he left a big problem for his heirs, because this was all taxable.
Well, yeah, but it'd be a nice problem to have to deal with, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And Newport Park and Door County in general have benefited greatly.
Because a lot of that land was donated then to?
No, it was sold.
It was sold. Our guests today, Paul and Francis Burton of Ephraim, Wisconsin, they operate Stonehill Publishing. We're talking with them today about the history of Door County. We're going to visit a little bit more about that, but we're also going to be talking about some of the land issues that we have and are facing in Door County, and we'll talk with them also about the arts. The arts are a very important part of Door County, and we'll be visiting with them and taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Give us a call, and we'll take some questions from the audience as well here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller as we broadcast today from the Peninsula Players Theater in Fish Creek, Wisconsin, this beautiful facility with a wonderful audience. I'm really pleased to be here and glad that you're listening in today as we talk about Door County. We're taking a look at some of the stories about life in Door County, everything from the arts to the history to the natural ecology of the county as well. And certainly inviting your questions and comments as we move along today. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Anywhere else, it's toll-free at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. We'd love to hear from you. And we have somebody online, so I think we'll just go right to the phones. And Mary in Madison, it is your turn.
Mary, hello, interesting show. We spent many summers in Door County and almost were able to buy the cottage until the owner's daughter got married and decided they wanted it, which just broke our hearts. We have never felt the same about going up there because to have the same place every year is almost like being a resident. I had two divergent questions. The only problem I've seen with these wonderful books about Wisconsin wildflowers is that often they give the location of the best beds and very quickly people appear with shovel and pail. And I would guess that the majority of those transplanted plants often taken when they're blooming go ahead and die in home gardens. Serves them right, by golly. But I was charmed to see that one of the local greenhouses is offering the yellow orchids now, those yellow lady slippers, and I believe they were at least $60 a piece. But I wanted to ask if your experience has been that these beds tend to thrive over generations or if they tend to be very short-lived as people discover them and take them home. And then I wanted to ask about the settling of Door County. Years ago, I was given a copy of a diary by some people that immigrated to Wisconsin on a flatboat and had a tragic short history here. And when I heard the program begin this morning, I realized I don't know anything at all about whether Door County was always this vacation refuge or whether at one point it was really a thriving shipping area. Could you say a little bit about the settling of that area?
Okay, we have both Paul and Francis Burton here. And Francis, maybe we can start with you on the flower side of things.
Okay, now I would be happy to address that, but please understand I'm not a naturalist, and I'm just a person who has learned some things about flowers. Wildflowers should not be dug up, and particularly orchids. Orchids live in a symbiotic relationship with a particular kind of fungus that's in the soil. When you dig it up and transplant it, you have removed it from the fungus that it needs to survive. So it's highly unlikely that an orchid you dig up will live. The possible exception is yellow lady slippers, which people have been known to transplant with some success. So they must be a little hardier. I don't know a thing about garden shops selling yellow lady slippers. This is just nothing I've ever seen. But I would not recommend digging up any wildflower unless you know the person's property that it's on. It's illegal, and it's not likely to survive out of its chosen habitat. And I hope that answers that part of the question.
Yeah, that was a great answer. Very good answer. And Paul, what about sort of the history here?
Well, of course, the first settlers of Door County were Native Americans, Indians. And a lot of people don't realize that there were Indians in Door County 10,000 years ago. So we can't claim to be the first settlers. The white man was not the first settler. The settlement of Door County really began around the late 1840s, and there were crop failings in Europe, and people were having trouble getting land to farm, and there were some religious persecution problems, and the New World was open to them. And a few came and wrote back to their friends in Europe and relatives in Europe saying, this place is really wonderful. And so people began to immigrate to America. And one of the strengths, or one of the most interesting aspects of Door County to me, is the diversity of people who came to the United States. We have Germans. Germans were the major settlers, but they came from Ireland, Poland, Belgium, Germany, Czechoslovakia at that time, and Bohemia, Denmark, Norway, and Iceland. And all these people added to the fabric of early Door County. And the Germans, for example, were farmers. The Norwegians were fishermen in good part. And they struggled to survive because, again, this was a wilderness area and remained such until shortly after 1900, when the automobile was invented and people could get around much more easily. In the wintertime, this place was closed down because the only access was by ship. And so supplies and so on came in by ship. And then around 1900, people began to discover Door County as a place to get away from the big city, the heat of the big city, the chaos of the big city, and spend a few weeks in this beautiful place with all its natural beauty. So it was a gradual kind of thing, and really this was not a tourist destination until around 1900. And people came up and enjoyed their stay. People, residents opened their homes to people, and some of them thought, well, gosh, maybe I'll just add a room and we'll make this into a little hotel. And so it evolved from there. But the reason they came, I think, is because of the natural beauty.
Yeah. Mary, thank you very much for calling. I hope that answers your question.
Only about Iceland, what on earth were people from Iceland doing here?
Well, they came to fish, I guess. That's a good question. I don't know. But they came.
I bet the fishing had something to do with it.
Absolutely. And the earliest Icelanders immigrated to Washington Island, but most of the early settlers of Washington Island weren't Icelanders. They were Irish. And the Icelanders came over, and they had a better PR person and began to get a lot of press about Icelandic Washington Island.
Fascinating.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Let's take a question from the audience. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Great show.
Thank you.
This is for Paul R. Francis. We've got a lot of great islands around around the peninsula, and I was wondering if you know some of the history of some of those islands: Chambers, Rock Island, Horseshoe Island, Green Island. There are just a lot of jewels out there that people don't know a lot about.
Are you a plant?
This is not a setup, folks.
We're just writing a book about the islands of Door County.
Oh,
you couldn't have asked a better question.
Yeah, we're doing the research now. There are 25 islands, and we're going into the history and some of the anecdotes about the islands and as much information as we can retrieve that hasn't already been published. But it should be out maybe next summer, if we're lucky.
Well, give us a little preview. What are some of the kind of the neat things about some of the islands?
Oh, my goodness. The Strawberry Islands, which are located off of between Fish Creek and kind of off of Peninsula State Park, one of them is a tiny little thing, and there's a chain of them, and the biggest is 43 acres. And you wouldn't think that those tiny little things would have much of a history. The biggest island has a great ghost story that goes with it about a dentist that was out there and supposedly murdered somebody and was counterfeiting coins and faked his own death and came back to dig up the coins. So you'll really need to stay tuned.
Well, that's a great story. Well, now I want to hear another one. Have you got another one you can tell us?
About islands?
Yeah, well, give us another island story here.
Well, many of these islands, of course, had lighthouses on them, and Pilot Island was one of these islands. It's up near Washington Island, and it's sort of far removed from the other islands up there. And there is a lighthouse. There was a lighthouse. And it was a desolate place. And that lighthouse sort of marked the entrance to death's door. And the keepers on that island saw many, many shipwrecks. And the story of how they had to deal with some of these wrecks and so on is very interesting. One of them, a huge freighter, ground to a halt right at the edge of the island, and its bow was sticking up sort of over the margin of the island. And some of the stories are really fascinating, having to do with these lighthouses and the keepers. You had to be sort of weird to be a lighthouse keeper. But there were a lot of weird folks around then, so we had a lot of lighthouse keepers.
Okay.
I would like to say Washington Island is by far the biggest island. And there is somebody helping write, Bill Olson is writing the history of Washington Island. He lives there, and he knows the people, and he knows the history. And he'll be doing Washington Island and doing a really good job of that.
Wonderful. Well, let's take a question from our call-in folks. Steve in Janesville has a question for you. So let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Steve, are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah, Steve, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the call. It's awfully good to hear the Burtons once again. We used to visit their store a lot, and I want to compliment them on all they've done for the environmental movement there. I was just listening to what you said, Paul, and of course, having written a book on lighthouses of Door County, I disagree that the people were pretty weird, but anyway. especially on Pilot, I think that got a bum rap, but most of the people were pretty neat people. I've enjoyed certainly your writings, and I wanted to thank you also for the help that you gave me when I was starting my book on lighthouses. So it's good to hear you once again. We miss visiting your store.
Oh, thank you, Steve. And Francis, you know who this is.
Yeah, I think we need to give him a really good plug. I'm sure that's Steve Cargas, and he's written a wonderful book about the lighthouses of Door County. That is just, it is the book about the lighthouses.
Very thoroughly done, thoroughly researched, and it's a marvelous book.
Thank you.
Maybe I used the wrong word. I said weird. Let's say different.
Okay.
Different. Well, imagine sitting on an island by yourself with maybe your wife there, day in and day out, polishing the lighthouse lens and looking out for wayward ships and so on. It's rather restrictive.
Thanks, Steve.
Huh?
Steve, of course, I remember interviewing you when your book came out.
Right. Thank you, Larry.
All right, thanks a lot for calling in.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Let's take another call. It was nice to hear from Steve. Mary in Madison is up next. Mary, hello.
Hello. Yes, I have two questions. I was wondering about the formation of the ridges and also if there's any evidence of copper items. Because across from Fish Creek or so, there across the waters there, there's a copper culture park, and I guess copper was used by the Native Americans. And I was wondering if there were any copper objects found in Door County.
Yes, yes, there were copper objects found in association with sites occupied by Indians, but these were usually traded with between tribes, local tribes, and tribes from Michigan, where they did have copper. But copper implements are not uncommon in these at these sites. And in terms of the ridges, the ridges were formed. Well, Frances is nodding that she can tell you more than I. So
yeah, well,
I'm going
to switch to Frances.
I'm going to defer to Frances.
This is a pitch I make as a volunteer at the Ridges Nature Center whenever anybody comes in, so I feel this is right up my alley. The ridges were formed over thousands of years by wave action. If you go out into a sandy beach, you'll notice under your feet in the water, there are little teeny ridges you can see. Those would be magnified tremendously as ridges that have formed in Bailey's Harbor Bay over the years. Bailey's Harbor Bay faces directly south. The ridges that have formed, between them have swales, which are filled with water. These two environments provide two different habitats for plants, dry habitat on top of the ridges and wet habitat in the swales. So that's why the ridges has so many different species of plants in one small area. In addition, in the winter, the wind blowing across Bailey's Harbor Bay comes right in and is very cold, and it has formed a boreal forest-type area in the Ridges Sanctuary. So there are plants formed that grow there that would typically grow in Canada, where boreal forests are usually found. Now, I'm not sure if that quite answers the question. I can try to do better if that isn't what you had in mind.
Oh, that sounds great. Mary? Thank you. Thanks very much for that call. I should mention that we'll be doing a special event from the Ridges Sanctuary in September, along about mid-September. We'll be doing a kind of a garden talk program from there. Well, I'm sure there'll be some other details in another month or so about that. I think it's around the 16th of September we'll be over there. So that'll be another good time. And thanks again to Mary for that call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Now, you were talking about some different kind of characters, but let's talk about some different kind of characters, or maybe memorable characters. Paul and Francis, I'll maybe ask you each to give us a story about one that's kind of memorable for you. Paul, we'll start with you.
Yeah, one of the most memorable people I've interviewed recently is still alive. And Francis will talk about one who is dead, I expect. But Herbie Hart, I don't know whether many of you know Herbie Hart or not, but his little farm is at the corner of A and Highway 42. And he used to have a motel there, the Herbie Hart Motel, and then he helped run a stable across the street, Cornelius Stable. His father-in-law, Cornelius, was a very successful butcher in Chicago and invested in that farm property, and Herbie, or Herb, as he likes to be called, even though he called his motel Herbie Hart's Motel, H-E-R-B-I. Herbie immigrated from Germany to Chicago with his family in 1923, when Herb was 12, and he talks about standing along the rail of the ship that was leaving Germany, and his mother said, take a good long look, Herb, because this is the last time you'll ever see Germany. And so they did emigrate, E-M-I-G-R-A-T, from Germany and ended up in Chicago. And Herbie had a wonderful tenor singing voice. And, I mean, it was really good. He sang at the Chicago World's Fair. He sang on WGN Chicago with a group called Herr Louie and the Weasel. And he sang with the Chicago Light Opera Company. And then later, he opened his own restaurant where he entertained with his own group. But before he opened his restaurant, he sang at the famous old Heidelberg Restaurant in Chicago. Maybe some of you remember that. And there he was, Herbie and his jovial jesters. Herbie could have gone on and sung with the Metropolitan Opera. Lawrence Melchior was a good friend of his, and Lawrence Melchior and his wife often visited with Herbie at his restaurant, and they talked. And Melchior tried to talk Herbie into going to New York and trying out for the Met. But Herbie decided not to. Rather, he retired early to Door County. And he built and operated a motel and helped run a stable. And now he lives quietly on the farm at the corner of County A and 42. He is 95 years old, sharp as a tack, has wonderful ideas about the state of the county and America. And he still does farm chores. I see him driving around his tractor. He really left an impression on me. This guy is sharp at 95. I hope I'm half as sharp when I'm 85.
Oh, that's a great story. And Francis, have you got a little story?
Yeah, it's how much time do I have?
Oh, about a minute and a half.
Is that all? This is a pretty good story. This one sounds like it's not true, but it is. It's the story of Joe Marden, who lived in Sturgeon Bay and bought some property outside town at Shivering Sands, which was it's north of Sturgeon Bay and kind of on the banks of Lake Michigan. He decided to build a hotel. He had no money, so he built it out of driftwood and lumber that had washed up off of ships that were passing by. He combed the beaches. He put the lumber together with big old spikes and pieces of wire, anything he could do to make it supposedly hold together. He managed to get up a three-story building. This was his hotel. He named it Castle Romance. This was in 1906. Okay, now to back up a little bit. He was known as Wildcat Joe Marden because his hobby was capturing wildcats, and he did it by throwing his coat over them, wrestling them to the ground, and putting a collar on them and tying them up outside his building as watch cats. He also liked skunks, and he captured them. At one point, he wanted to send them to the World's Fair in Chicago, 1904. So he bought a bunch of skunks in crates, and he talked a Goodrich liner captain into taking the skunks on board down to Chicago. Well, as soon as this ship got anywhere near the waves, the skunks got upset. The ship smelled terrible, and the crates all went overboard.
Oh, well, you know what? On that note, on that unhappy note, you know, I think you were right, Paul. I think there are some kind of weird people here in Door County, but a lot of great people. And Paul and Francis Burton, I thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. It's been wonderful to have you here, and it's been wonderful to have our great audience here. It's been it's wonderful to be in Door County. I hope you have a chance to come to Door County. And in particular, when you're here, you have to come to the Peninsula Players Theater. It's a beautiful place. Thank you all for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.